Welcome to the Dentistry Speaks podcast, hosted by members of the Speaking Consulting Network. We interview leaders, meeting planners, and pioneers to help aspiring and seasoned dental speakers polish their skills and reach their potential.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Dentistry Speaks podcast, brought to you by the Speaking Consulting Network. My name is Kevin Henry, honored to be the host of this podcast, as well as a member of SCN. And I have a dear friend on today, as well as a fellow member of SCN, and that is Colleen Huff. Hey, Colleen, how are you this morning?
I'm good, Kevin. Thank you for having me on. I'm really honored to be here.
Always glad to talk to you and glad to pick your brain a little bit. But before we dive into the topic of the day, would you just kind of let our listeners know a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So my name is Colleen Huff. I call myself the dental insurance coach. I have been in the dental field as of this month for 29 years. I started 29 years ago at MetLife, and I kind of caveat that with the MetLife of 29 years ago, and had my training on the phones from the insurance end of it. And then due to a job transfer, moved to New Jersey and had all this dental knowledge, had signed a non-compete, couldn't go back into another insurance company, and started out in the dental practices. And like a lot of you, for other parts of the dental field, learned on the ground from the people around me. And over the years, moved into management. But the biggest theme for me ended up that there was such a lack of knowledge of how the insurances really worked, and the offices really just didn't understand some of the things they were doing that could get them in trouble. And I slowly developed courses and training and consulting, and 2 years ago stepped out of being a manager in a practice, and I've been speaking and consulting around the country ever since and loving every minute of it.
Nice. Well, glad to pick your brain today about, I think, what's going to be a very important topic, and I know it's one you're hearing quite a bit about, and that's revenue cycle management. And, you know, before we came on, you and I were chatting a little bit, and you were telling me about that one of the things you're seeing has to do with systems whenever it comes to revenue cycle management and maybe the lack thereof, right?
That's a big problem in a lot of practices. And I think some of it's coming from there's so many new people to the offices since 2020 that the systems maybe weren't in place, and then they come in and there's a lot of fumbling happening in these practices.
And you know, you read my mind, because I was going to ask you about the people coming in. And is it something that practices didn't have systems in place and it just kind of steamrolled with the new people who really didn't understand dentistry, or were there systems in place, but the new people coming in just kind of aren't listening to them or working their way around them?
It's kind of a combination of the two. I think a lot of practices, you know, you and I have been in this long enough to know that, you know, even 10 years ago, 15 years ago, revenue cycle was easier than it is now. And so insurances became more complex. I like to say, in my opinion, it started around 2010. A whole other, we could do a whole another podcast on self-insured dental plans came into play versus the fully insured. And we saw an uptick in the breakdowns, how complex. Add to that, without a whole lot of, you know, in the past, you may have had Mary, who's been there 25 years, that knows what she's doing, but doesn't always write it down. And so with that change, she had a system, but it wasn't always taught to the new people. Or they didn't have one and they were just surviving as they went. But with, you know, changes in the people at the front, changes in who's working it, and more people having, it seems like there's a lot more offices that have heavy dental insurance part of it. And if you don't know how to do it or how to handle it and how to make sure you're not losing that money, then, you know, you're producing, which is great. But if you can't collect it, it doesn't help the practice.
Absolutely. You know, and one thing that I'm hearing a lot, and I want to see if you are as well, is that we're kind of at a tipping point where a lot of, like you said, the Marys that have been there for a long time are now retiring. They're phasing out. The next generation is coming in, you know, and it's the Gen Z, the millennials, nothing wrong with that at all. But it's a different mindset. And so do systems need to change with a new generation coming in, or can the same old systems still work?
So, yeah, I think the systems need to change slightly. One of the things I'm finding with some of the younger people that I'm training is, I don't mean this as an insult, but they need a little bit more handholding. Some of the things people my age, sort of, we would figure it out on our own. This generation, the way they were taught was an A, B, C, D system, not an A and then figure out B and C. And a lot of times we go into it assuming, which we, you know, that's not a good thing to do, assuming that they're going to do the same thing we did. I find that problems occur and they don't look for solutions to them. They just work with what problem is happening. For example, I have an office that I was just talking to yesterday that their claim forms aren't going through electronically to one particular insurance company. Now, this person's been in that position for 2 years. I would have thought she understood or had, and she had experience before that, but this person didn't understand the connection between the software, the clearinghouse, and where you need to look to figure out where that disconnect. And so that plays into, they'll keep working harder and not getting the money as quickly. And they focus on, you know, so there's glitches that happen. I think we have to make sure that our systems are written and changing as the software changes. You know, on a positive note, one of the other offices I'm coaching, they're updating their training manuals right now with a new hire, asking her to make sure that their screenshots are correct and having the new hire give them feedback, which is fabulous, you know, and that's something that we don't do. We set a tree, you know, we may have made a training manual 5 years ago. That's great, but the software has changed.
Absolutely. And the team has changed, the world has changed, you know, since 5 years ago. And, you know, I know you going to practices, you probably see the three ring binder that's still got the dust on it. And they say that's our manual.
Yeah.
It's obvious that, you know, we're kind of winging it a little bit.
Well, and the other problem that we have is, have they continued to educate? So you may have somebody who started 2 years ago during, or 3 years ago at this point during the chaos. You know, we saw a lot of people not come back, a lot of changes in it. Maybe they were fumbling. They came up with some shortcuts to get things done where they were going by the old manual and didn't have time to update. And like you said, there's been so much changes. A lot of offices are struggling with their team members and having enough of them. And that's where the systems fall off. You know, one of the biggest problems every dental practice struggles with is we don't have enough time to do the revenue cycle. And one of the biggest things I do when I go in and coach the office is make sure the doctor understands when you pull Mary from, oh, well, that can get done later for billing. Now you're yelling at her 3 weeks later because you haven't been paid. Well, that's because you pulled her to the front desk when you maybe needed to leave her for an hour and act like she's not there.
You know, one of the things I always love to ask guests like you is the biggest mistake that you see practices make. And is that one of the biggest right there is just not letting the team members have the time to do what they need to do?
Absolutely. So I have an office that I went into last January, a very busy practice. I mean, they're hopping 15 operatories, you know, just about the time you think you've seen it all. I went into this one and I was blown away by the organization. It was well organized, but they were struggling. And so each member of the team of the administrative team had certain extra tasks that they did. And one of the structures I put into place was once a week, they each got 1 to 2 hours of quiet time away from the front desk. And when I first suggested it, they swore to me it wasn't possible. And I said, listen, we're going to figure this out. We're going to try this for 3 weeks. 21 days to change habits, 21 days to learn a new habit. And so we implemented every single person was given time that they had to physically leave that front desk too. And I had one that likes her computer and didn't want to leave it. And the team was supposed to act as if they weren't there. I want you to act like they're out, they're sick, whatever, they're not there, they're on vacation. And the best part I heard was, wow, I'm getting so much done. And that was an hour, maybe two a week, that you're just getting some quiet time. And I get laughed at, anyone who's taken my courses, when I say you have a quiet room that no one's bugging you, they all burst out laughing because I know none of them have it. And then when I'll suggest this, a lot of them think it's impossible, but to ask for 1 hour, whether it's you set up that you're coming in an hour earlier than you used to or shifting, it makes a huge difference to what you can accomplish. You know, my favorite thing when I worked at any office I was at was if the doctor took a day off, I was in there. I could get three times as much done when nobody was there and I don't answer the phones and no one knows I'm there.
And, you know, it's funny you bring up the doctor, because one thing I was just going to ask you was, how important is it for the doctor to be on board with this quiet time and making sure that that leadership is coming from the top and working its way down?
Well, and I have to get the buy-in from the doctor, because the doctor has to also know that you're going to get complaints. One of the biggest things I'll hear is, well, our clinical team went and complained because we couldn't do a checkout as fast as they wanted. So that's where the buy-in, the doctor has to understand that to him, they you know, for them, they have a patient in the chair or they don't. For the front, whether there's a patient in the chair or not, they have a pile next to them a mile high that they have to get through. And if someone, especially with COVID, you know, somebody goes out with COVID, they're out for a minimum of 5 days. And that's, in the past, you know, we were all the type of, you know, take some DayQuil and show up at work, which wasn't probably the best choice either, you know, but this is a fight, you know, there's times you're losing a team member, not just for a day or two, they might feel better. And if you don't have a remote ability for them to maybe remote in from home, or then you're losing all of that time and that cycle gets broken. And so part of what I teach is everybody has their roles in the cycle. How you're getting that insurance information to start with. Are you doing the breakdowns? You know, how you're sending out bills, how you're collecting, and the treatment plans, and how you're collecting when they're in the office. And each person has their full role. But part of what I'm developing with an office right now is, great, that's ideal. Well, this one practice is big enough that there's going to be somebody out every month, because there's so many team members. So let's also look at, what is our shortened version of that role? What things have to happen every day, every week, every month to keep that revenue cycle moving? So it might be, okay, you do great full breakdowns, but if so-and-so's, the person who does that is out, you might just be getting, if they're eligible, and changing your percentages, your maximum deductible, and saving that full breakdown for later.
So whenever you talk about everybody has their role in revenue cycle management, you know, I know cross-training comes to mind. And a lot of times, how important is cross-training in the whole revenue cycle management sphere, shall we say?
It's very important. You can teach. I did cross-training in almost every office I worked in. There was always one or two clinical team members who have the right mindset to handle, whether it's the phones, doing a breakdown, check in or check out, or how to present a treatment plan. And so you have to have those few people, because the reality is, I don't know anybody who's worked the front desk that's never been asked to go back and assist at some point. You know, I started the first office I worked in, I learned oral surgery. It's the only type of assisting I ever enjoyed. But I've got pulled in back because they need that person for that part of it. Well, understanding that same need is in the front. One of the offices, the main office I worked at in New Jersey, I had a team member who was an assistant, and she was looking for some extra hours. And we had one of the other administrative team members going out for a month long vacation, getting married and then taking a full month off because of where they were going. And so I taught her just how to even check up on the claims. Now, mind you, in the long run, it was not her favorite thing to do. But she was someone we could rely on, that maybe she wasn't needed in back, or we had a day the doctor was out and she didn't want to lose hours. Now you can help us catch up. And so there's a real win on that. It can also help, you know, if you have a small practice and your doctor takes vacations and you hear the complaint of, well, the administrative team still gets to come in, we'll teach them. So the clinical team doesn't lose those hours, but they're still doing something that's not just, you know, rearranging the lab every time the doctor goes on vacation. You know, I had an assistant who, oh my gosh, I mean, her clinical area got rearranged every 6 months when somebody was out, you know, she moved stickers and everything, but she just would go through and rearrange it all. It's more productive than, you know, and not saying that there's not things they need to do too, but it's another way to allow them to be productive for the practice.
Yeah, it's about the bottom line. You know, I mean, there's busy work, and then there's work that actually impacts the business. You know, there's a big difference.
Right. And, you know, and that's where, you know, a lot of offices will focus so highly on production, and they only notice the collections when it's not happening. and they don't always understand. And that's the biggest part to get through to the doctors, is having an understanding, the support of that administrative team. And unless, you know, the ones that I've loved to work with are, I had two doctors I worked with in different times that grew up in dentistry. Their father was a dentist, so they worked the front desk to start with. They were, you know, I'm aging myself, you know, they pulled charts when they were in high school, and then they answered the phones, and then they went to hygiene school, and then they went to dental school. That dentist is going to really know and understand what admin is up against. But what I train, any office I go into, I make the doctors agree to a 3-hour time span that I get everybody. And I try to help them understand, not only there's other things I do with them, but helping them to understand what it means when they say, oh, that so-and-so handed me a new insurance card, I need a breakdown. Well, what does that mean to the front? Do you understand how much time that takes? Do you understand what they're up against when the doctor's upset because a patient calls because we got a percentage wrong or didn't know about something? So he understands how hard it is sometimes to get that information.
So like you said, you're going into practices, you're helping teams. So I want people to know, how do they get a hold of you? How do they pick your brain a little bit more? How do they learn more about Colleen Huff?
So I do have a website. It's very easy. It's ColleenHuff.com. But you can also, I have a Facebook page, Colleen Huff, the Dental Insurance Coach. You can email me at dentalinsurancecoach@gmail.com. You can see me, you know, and I'm part of a lot of the various Facebook groups, and you can find me on the FCN website, you know, and so there's a couple of different ways you can catch me and find me.
And we'll make sure to put Colleen's website, contact information in the show notes. So make sure that you check that out. And Colleen, as always, I enjoyed our chat, my friend. Thanks for being on today.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Thanks to all of you for listening to this episode of the Dentistry Speaks podcast. We love bringing in experts from around the industry to hit the hot topics, the hot buttons that help you have a better day and a better business ahead. So until next time, whenever we meet here on the Dentistry Speaks podcast, this is Kevin Henry signing off, wishing you nothing but success ahead.
Thank you for joining us. To learn more, visit speakingconsultingnetwork.com. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Dentistry Speaks podcast.